Been thinking about how to, you know, we talk a lot about how to engage our congregation. I reckon if I had a couple of penguins, you think I could get the kind of response from you guys that Andy got this morning? Everybody would come gather around. Maybe I should try penguins. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 11, okay? So if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. We'll get you one. Otherwise, Hebrews chapter 11, that's where we are. Okay, let me put it this way to you. Boil down the Christian life, and I think it's all about faith. Is that a fair statement? Boil it down. And I think this is the thin end of the wedge for the Christian life. It's all about faith. Hebrews 11 essentially is all about faith. The underlying exhortation, I think, of this entire letter to the Hebrews is all about faith. You could even say, I reckon, that the ultimate aim of God in giving a written revelation of himself to us in the Bible to a lost and a fallen world is all about faith. Is that fair to say that? That ultimately it's all about faith. Because at the end of the day, God wants us to believe, doesn't he? He will glorify himself in that. His purpose for creating a universe, a world, a people, to express the greatness of who he is, has been damaged by sin, restored by Christ. And we enter into that by faith. God wants us to believe. And he doesn't just want us to believe once and that's the end of it. I think God wants us to go on believing. Don't you? I think he wants us to go on believing. We enter into a relationship with God by faith. And then we live every day of our lives by faith. Because if we don't, we start to crash. We start to fall apart. We start to doubt. We start to worry. We start to fret. We start to disobey. Yes? No? We have to believe and we have to go on believing. That is how God works his wonderful, sanctifying, changing, transforming power in our lives. It's all about faith. John 20, verse 31, John says at the end of his gospel that he has written these things so that you may believe. That's why God has given us a written revelation of himself, so that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life in his name. So we're not looking here at chapter 11. I've said this, I think, before. We're not looking here in chapter 11 at great men and women who've believed. That's not what we're looking at here. We're looking instead at normal men and women who are great because they've believed. Do you understand the difference? Because I think it's big, all right? These are not great men and women. These are, in fact, the closer you look, the more you realize that they're just as broken as we are. But they're great because they believe. The man with the demon-possessed son in Mark 9:22, you might remember the story. He says to Jesus, after Jesus' disciples had tried to heal his son and couldn't, Jesus and Peter and James and John come down from the mountain. And the man says to Jesus, oh, Jesus, he says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And you remember what Jesus says to the man in return? He turns around and he says, if you can, he's talking to Jesus now, right? If you can do anything, Jesus, if you can. Jesus says, all things are possible for the one who believes. And folks, I think that's what's going on in Hebrews. I think it's a culmination, it's a crescendo, really, of what he's been sharing with these people. It's hard times. It's a difficult road that they have just now. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of courage that's necessary here. And God wants to call them back to their ultimate trust and faith in Christ. So here's the men and women that we're presented with. But if you had to pick one, now we've kind of given the game away this morning already with some of the songs that we've sung. But if you had to pick one, right, to sit at the top of the faith list, one who is renowned for his faith, and particularly the justification that comes by it, who do we pick? Right? Abraham. Abraham. And so here he comes in verse 8. All right, we've gotten up to verse 8 now. And here comes Abraham, the one man that Paul chooses to illustrate the principle of justification by faith in the Bible in Romans chapter 4. And the one who the writer of Hebrews says more about here than any other person in chapter 11. And so what we're going to do now, between now and when we take a break for Christmas, is we're going to take the next 3 weeks, three messages, to talk particularly about this man's faith and to see what we can learn from Abraham's faith, because this is so good. Abraham and God's promise this morning, Abraham and God's command next Sunday morning, and then finally Abraham and God's righteousness. And then we'll break for Christmas and pick up Hebrews again in the new year. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. All right, here we go. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now, seems like quite a basic passage, but I would say that we're taught some things there about faith that are absolutely staggering, really. And I want to take 3 points from these three verses, all right? I love it when this happens. It's kind of outlined for me, which is good. 3 points from three verses. Here's the first one. Faith is about trusting God through the uncharted waters of our lives. Is that not true? Think about it. We say a lot about faith. We sing a lot about faith. We say that we as followers of Christ are, what do we call ourselves sometimes? We call ourselves believers, don't we? In fact, I've asked people this before. I might meet them somewhere and they start kind of giving me that sense. You know, you kind of get a wee bit of a sense about somebody sometimes when maybe you've never met them before, and then you start talking. Maybe it's a new person at work, or it's a new neighbor that moves onto the street, or I don't know, you meet somebody for the first time and you start to talk about, they don't know anything about you, you don't know anything about them. And so you start to talk, and you don't necessarily give the whole game away right away, do you? You know, hi, my name's Wayne, I'm a pastor, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to heaven when I die, you know, what's your name? You know, you don't give the game away. We kind of do these little things, don't we? And we kind of, you know, we guard ourselves. But then, you know, sometimes with some people, you just start getting this sense. Do you know what I mean? You get this sense that they might be like you. Crazy thought, isn't it? Horrible thought maybe for some of us, but they might be like you. And then comes the moment where you might ask them, are you a believer? That's a great way, I think, to be referred to. I love it. I think that's one of the most reassuring, encouraging ways to be referred to as a human being. Are you a believer? And what we mean by that, obviously, is, are you a believer in Christ? Well, we call ourselves believers, and I think one of the things Abraham's life teaches us is that believing, that faith, is about trusting God, not just at the moment of salvation, but trusting God through all of the uncharted waters of our lives. And this so humbles me. I don't know how it makes you feel, but this so humbles me, because, you know, time goes on in life and you do go through uncharted waters. And what I mean by that is they're uncharted. You can't map them out. You've not been there before. You've not been there before. So maybe you've heard a story somewhere out there about people that have been through similar things in your life, and you have some vague notion of what it might be like to experience this or to go through this. But by and large for you, these are uncharted waters. You don't know what they look like. In your heart, in your mind, in your experience, no one has ever mapped them out for you. That's what I mean by this. And this so humbles me, because it just says that when Abraham was called to go to another country, he just obeyed and went. I'm so humbled by that. It's so simple, but I'm so humbled by that. He just obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. How humbling is that? He's not talking here about, because sometimes we read the Bible in kind of modern, with modern ideas. You know what I mean? We read the Bible with our road system in mind or our transport system in mind. You can't do that. You have to try to read it in a historical sense because it there's a lot of power in that. He's not talking here about going around the corner and getting lost on his way to a friend's house. That's not what he's talking about when he says this here. He's talking about packing up his whole life for the sake of following God. That's what he's talking about here. You understand the difference? Because sometimes you think of, oh, getting lost. Well, I got lost the other day. No, that's not really what he's talking about. I've been lost a whole lot of times going to friends' houses. In fact, I remember the first time that Sarah and I headed out to the Cunningham's house in Drem, and I headed for Ormiston. Now, I don't know if you know East Lothian at all, but there's a long distance between Drem and Ormiston. And it was one of these deals where Sarah just starts to say, and as we're heading out towards Ormiston, I don't think this is the way. You know how you get as a husband, right? You know how you get. Listen, I'm the guy that's got I've got the sense of direction here in this marriage. I know where I'm going to the Cunningham's house, and I'm heading for Ormiston. I don't think this is the right way, and the road's getting smaller, and we're just kind of going further out in the, that was humble pie night, wasn't it? That was humble pie night. You know, I'm shouting back to her, of course we're going in the right direction. I'm the one driving, right? Imagine what kind of time we had at the Cunninghams that night. That's not what's going on here. That's not what's going on here. This guy's talking about following God when your life is being redirected. When your life is being redirected. And worse yet, in a direction that you totally don't get. That you totally don't get. Listen to the account in Genesis 12, because that's what it's referring to. Just listen to the account here. Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Didn't even know where it was going to be. To the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. The one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. The great Abrahamic blessing in which the seeds of the promise of the Savior of the world are planted. And so Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. No spring chicken, right? No spring chicken, no bus pass. He was 75, could have had one here, right? No spring chicken, no bus pass, but he goes. In fact, think about this. In fact, extremely doubtful that Abraham had ever even met anyone from Canaan. Extremely doubtful that he'd ever even met anyone from Canaan, never mind been there himself. Right? Not a clue where he was going. Not a clue where he was going. So far removed from the situations that we've got today, isn't it? 2 minutes on the internet, and then we can know anything we want to know about where we're going. So far removed. Somebody tells us we're going to go for a new job somewhere across the world somewhere. 2 minutes on the internet, we can know everything we need to know about what it looks like, where's the Starbucks, right? What the roads are like, what kind of car I'm going to rent, whatever. So different from what's going on today. I know exactly where I'm going when I go to visit my mother. She lives in Florida. In case you're interested, it's 80 degrees and sunny. That was last night, just to make me feel bad. But I know exactly where I'm going when I go to my mother's house in Florida. I know how I'm going to get there. I know what airline I'm going to fly. I know how long it's going to take. I know where I'm going to make my connections. I know all that stuff. And still, I'm a basket case that I'm going to get there all right. Right? And I know all that. I know all that. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. I'm going to take you to another land. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, and through you, I'm going to bless the world. You know, and you can just imagine Abraham. I don't, you know, he had his moments. He had his moments. He had his downfalls. He had his flesh. I am going to bless the world through you. You can imagine him. You know, oh yeah, any, Lord, thank you. Anything interesting you're going to do with my life? He had his moments. Faith is not easy, but boy, it's some ride, isn't it? It's some ride. Two incredible things here about Abraham's faith that the writer points us to specifically. One, it's prompt. Do you notice that? His faith is prompt. He obeyed and went. Period. Period. Didn't waver, didn't wander, didn't call for backup. God said, and he did. By faith, Abraham, when called, and it doesn't quite come across as clearly in the English, but that is a present participle in the Greek. It's a present participle. When called, it sounds like a past thing, but it's a present participle. And what it really implies there is that Abraham was obeying while God was calling. While the call of God was still ringing in this man's ear, there was no ifs, ands, or buts. He was going. He was going. And I wonder sometimes how much of us, you know, what is our faith about? What is our walk with Christ about? What does it look like? Is it a convenience thing? Is it a convenience thing? Because that's how we live in the world. You give a little, I'll give a little. You give a little, I'll give a little, right? And sometimes, sadly, even how we live in our relationships, in our marriages. You give a little, I'll give a little. You give a little, I'll give a little. Fell into love, fell out of love. He's obeying while the call of God is still ringing in his ears. It was prompt. Second, it was persevering, wasn't it? It was prompt, bang, now, go. Obeyed, went. And it was persevering. He hung in there with God. He hung in there with God through what must have been some horrendously difficult times. Horrendously difficult times. His whole life was being redirected. Faith is about trusting God through the uncharted waters of our lives. And you know, so often I think about this. It's a strange place to think about it, but I do. I so often think about this when I'm standing right here on this platform in front of two people who are promising each other some incredible stuff. They're promising each other some incredible stuff for the rest of their lives. And during the weddings that we have, I find myself thinking about this whole idea of I just wonder where they're going to go in life. I wonder what's going to happen for this bright young couple. What are the future years going to look like? At what points are the wrinkles going to start to appear under their eyes like they have under mine? Right? Where are this young couple going to go? How many of you guys have gotten married here at Carrubbers? Raise your hand if you've gotten married here at Carrubbers. I just wanted to know. I thought that'd be a great thing to know. Super. I've probably thought this when you were getting married, okay? So this is when you're wondering what's going on in the pastor's head while you're making these vows and all the stuff that's going on in your head. Now you've got some idea. But I so often think about this. I don't think there's been a wedding that's gone by where I'm not thinking, what on earth lies ahead for these guys? What lies ahead for these guys? For better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, forsaking all others until death do us part. Anybody getting goosebumps? You remember that? You remember that? Faith is about trusting God through the uncharted waters of our lives. Marriage or no marriage? Marriage or no marriage? Family or no family? Job or no job? Health or no health? Somebody sent me this when my dad died. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy and undying love. But that's faith, isn't it? Uncharted. Don't know what it looks like. What are we going to do? Bail out? Hang in. Second thing here, living by faith drives us through disappointments. Is that not true? Have you found that in your life? As a believer, you're a believer this morning. Right? A believer. Are you? Christians. Just another way of saying that we belong to Christ. We're a believer. Have you found in your life as you go through disappointments, where do you go? Where do you turn? What is it that carries you through? I reckon it's faith. I reckon it's faith that drives us through disappointments. Did you know that Abraham never acquired any right in Canaan? Abraham never acquired any right in Canaan. The only thing Abraham ever required in Canaan was a grave. It was the only thing he ever acquired in Canaan. And yet his faith assured him that somehow all he ever got was a grave before he died. That's all he ever got. And yet his faith assured him that somehow God would keep his promise, didn't it? Somehow God would keep his promise. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Verse 9, Hebrews. And by faith, he made his home, look at this, in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. Wait a minute, this was the promised land. This is what God had promised him. What is this stranger stuff? Like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. What on earth must Abraham have thought when he arrived in Canaan? What must he have thought? Don't you think at some point the thought must have crossed his mind, maybe God is not as good as I thought he was? Do you not think the temptation to think that happened at some point? I'm going to go there, I'm going to give you this land, I'm going to make you a great nation. What did he see? He got a grave. Don't you think at some point, you know, we read the Bible, we come here on Sundays, we think about how that's going to apply to our lives, we go back to our jobs, we face the issues that come up just through day-to-day living, and then stuff just starts to go belly up. Things start happening in our lives that we don't understand. Where's this coming from? I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Where's this coming from? Does that not ever cross your mind? Come on, guys. Does that not ever cross your mind? Do you not think that must have crossed Abraham's mind? The temptation to think maybe God wasn't quite as good as I thought he was. The writer of Hebrews doesn't mention this, but shortly after Abraham arrives in the land that God promised him, a famine drives him out. He just gets there and now he's got to go. This is the land and we're going to make a great nation. And he just arrives, and as soon as he gets there, famine drives him out. Read about it, Genesis 12, verse 10. But even after he comes back to the land that God promised him, still he is only ever a sojourner in that land. That's all he ever is. That's all he ever is a sojourner in that land. Isn't that interesting? Because that's the writer is trying to make a point here about faith. And this is what he uses to make the point about faith, that he went to the promised land, but he was only a sojourner there. He lived and died as a sojourner in the land of promise. It wasn't until centuries later, after Abraham, after Isaac, after Jacob, after Joseph, after Moses, that Joshua takes Abraham's seed into the land to possess it. Only after that. Listen, isn't it hard enough to trust God for the things that are fulfilled in our lifetime? Isn't it? Isn't it hard enough even for the things that we do see in our lifetimes? Never mind trusting God for the things that we will never see while we're alive. And yet that's faith. That's trust. That is being a believer. That is being a believer. Abraham's faith accepted God's promises and acted on them even though there was nothing to indicate that they'd been fulfilled. He saw nothing to indicate that they'd be fulfilled. That's real faith. And then later on, you know the story and how it goes. Later on, When he's 100 years old, God tells him that he's going to have a baby with his wife who's 90. What would you say? Right? What would you say? Yeah, that's right. Exactly. That's right. That's what you would say. He's 100. He's still not received the promised heir. No, from you is going to... He's 100. His wife is 90. Now, come on. Some of you ladies are looking good. All right, but... Having a baby. Wow, Romans 4:18 then just says, puts it this way, and I guess this is it. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so became the father of many nations. Oh man, I love that. I love that. It drives us through disappointments. It drives us through disappointments, even when you can't see and your circumstances in your life and other people are telling you, no, God's not as good as you really think he is. And there's a little voice that's whispering that to you inside. Faith believes. It believes, driving us through disappointments. So I just wonder, there's a lot of people here this morning, I just wonder if anybody needs that kind of faith this morning. And then final point. Trusting God. It's kind of good because the final point is like the song that we just sang. Isn't it? We talked about uncharted waters. That's a bit of a minor key. Talked about disappointments. That's a bit of a minor key. But we're going to end on a major, all right? We're going to end on a major. Final point. Trusting God always leads to a better place. Doesn't it? It's not what the Bible assures us. Trusting God always leads to a better place. It is the ultimate message of God's word for us. That our faith in Him, our trust in Him will always lead us to a better place. Even if we don't see it, even if we don't experience it in this life, even if we don't taste it in the here and now, faith ultimately leads to the full and final experience of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Is that not right? That is clearly what the Bible tells us. And yet we have to walk through a life with all the uncharted waters and all the disappointments and all of what the sin curse in our own life and the lives of others means for us. Trusting God, thank you, Andy, for the reminder that God is just working in us. It's a work in progress. He's just making us more like Christ. And sometimes you know that that's the case and you're looking for all the ways in which it's happening and you can't even see how He's making you like Christ. Is that not fair? You know that that's what God promises you. You're going through difficult moments and seasons of your life. And you believe that God is making you more like Christ. And if you're like me, I'm an engineer. I like to see all the stuff happening. I like to see the equations working out. And you're looking for this stuff happening and you can't see anything. In fact, if the truth be known, you feel like you're less like Christ. Because you're not reacting as well to the situations of disappointment as you would like to. So you think you're less than you just don't see it happening. You just don't see it happening. Faith believes that ultimately God is working His purpose in our lives and He will lead us to that place of full and final experience of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Verse 10, for He was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. You could say, listen, you could say, and I think that verse leads us to believe this, but you could say that Abraham was so heavenly minded. Watch this now, because you think you know what's coming. Abraham was so heavenly minded that he was of the most earthly good. Abraham was so heavenly minded that he was of the most earthly good. People say, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Has anybody ever said that to you? No? Don't be so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good. Listen, you can't be so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good. You can't be so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good. Exactly the opposite. The more heavenly minded you are, listen to me. The more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you'll be. Colossians 3, verse 2. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Listen, listen. You can't help but be of earthly good when you're heavenly minded, can you? You cannot help but be of earthly good when you're heavenly minded. When you slot right into God's plan and purpose to save people for the praise of His great name. When you're heavenly minded, that's how you live. When you're heavenly minded, you live for the sake of Christ, don't you? Because you're heavenly minded. Your mind is on Christ. Abraham's mind was not on the situations that he saw or whether or not he would see the fulfillment of all that God had promised in his lifetime. He was looking toward that city whose architect and builder is God. He was so heavenly minded that he was of the most earthly good. The more heavenly minded we are, the more we live for Christ. And I'll tell you something, folks, the more you live for Christ, the better you'll be in this world. And the better you'll be for this world, won't you? You'll be a true ambassador for Christ. This is not all there is. This never has been all there is. It never will be all there is. What is just what is for now. That's all. Just for now. Until God fulfills His promises to Abraham. Because there's promises to Abraham that have yet to be fulfilled. There's promises to Abraham that have yet to be fulfilled. And Abraham's long gone. He's long gone. And yet there's promises that God has for him and for his people that are yet to be fulfilled. God fulfills his promises for Abraham, for his people, for us. Let's believe. Let's be believers. If you call yourself a believer, then believe, would you? Believe, trust, have faith in God as our father Abraham has. Well, let's pray. Lord, we just take a moment to stop and think about maybe where we are right now in the situations and circumstances of our own lives. We're so grateful, so thankful for a community of believers that we can be a part of to spur one another on through uncharted waters and disappointments, difficulties, reminding ourselves, because we just know that the world's not going to remind us of how faithful you are. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. There is no one like you. Faithful in all that you have ever promised. You cannot lie. And have expressed the greatness of your love and faithfulness to us in Christ. If you did not spare your own Son, how will you not also give us all that we need freely? So, Lord, help us to be believers. And as we get up and go out and get into our afternoons and our lunches and come back tonight and go to bed and wake up and start working and go to uni, wherever we are and whatever we do, that we would be believers for the glory of your great name. Amen.